Hello and welcome to another edition of the Global Venturing Review Podcast. Episode 52, if I'm not mistaken, which in terms of episodes brings this to a full year, even though, of course, we've gone for a little bit longer with a couple of breaks in between over the holidays. It's been a week of big exits, particularly, so let's get cracking. Although Netflix is the global market leader when it comes to online video streaming subscription services, regional rivals are beginning to raise substantial sums, particularly in Asia, where iFlix has just secured $90 million at a valuation of more than $500 million. And in this week's big deal piece on globalcorporateventuring.com, news editor Robert Levine takes a look at the round, backed by Sky, Liberty Media, Catcher Group, and Zain, and examines how iFlix, which is less than 2 years old, has utilized a localized approach and partnerships with telecom firms to grow so quickly. DraftKings may have agreed a mega merger with rival FanDuel in November, but that apparently hasn't stopped either from raising funding. DraftKings, which counts Fox Sports and sports leagues MLB, NHL, and MLS as investors, has raised $100 million in a Series E1 round, led by investment firm Elridge Industries, taking its overall funding to some $630 million. According to Axios, FanDuel is in the process of putting together its own round. It's likely a sign that regardless of future plans, both are seeing their cash reserves running low. Tencent and Baidu have co-led an $87 million round for NIO, the Chinese smart electric vehicle developer, formerly known as NextEV. Lenovo, IDG Capital, and Singapore Sovereign Wealth Fund, GIC Private, have also invested in the round, which reportedly took NIO's total funding to roughly $1 billion inside 3 years, as the company continues to develop its technology with an eye to releasing an autonomous car in the US by 2020. Public-Private Partnership Innovation Network Corporation of Japan, meanwhile, has partnered healthcare companies Takeda Pharmaceutical and Medipal Holdings to launch Japan-based biotech firm Skoya Pharma. The three partners are set to inject a combined $87 million in Skoya, which has been spun out of Takeda's Shonan Research Center and is set to formally begin operation on April the 1st. Microsoft Ventures is keeping up the pace of its investments so far in 2017, contributing to a $52.5 million growth round for Livongo Health, the developer of a digital diabetes management system. The round followed a $44.5 million Series C round closed with the help from corporates Merck, Wangxiang, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts last year, and will support an expansion to other chronic diseases. EDBI, the investment arm of Singaporean Statutory Board, Economic Development Board, also backed the latest growth round. The ad for equity space, meanwhile, continues to grow with news that recruitment platform Job Today has closed a $35 million deal with Astromedia, RTL Germany, and German Media Pool. All three took part in Job Today's last round, a $20 million Series B round in November that also included Channel 4. But the question is how the valuations compare over the two rounds, or rather, exactly how much advertising space does 35 million of equity buy on TV these days? Innovium, the Silicon Data Center equipment developer that emerged from stealth last June, has secured $38.3 million in a Series C round that included returning investor Qualcomm Ventures. The round, which was led by Redline Capital and backed by Greylock, Walden Riverwood Ventures, Capricorn Investment Group, and S-Cubed Capital, increased Innovium's overall funding to $90 million. Solaris Bank, meanwhile, has created what it claims is the first financial services as a platform offering, an online marketplace through which external partners can offer their own digital banking services. That's been enough to interest SBI Group and Bertelsmann subsidiary Arvato Financial Solutions, which have co-led a $28 million Series A round that will help the startup expand. It has plans to spread across Europe and intends to move into Asia through joint venture companies formed with SBI. Cellular immunotherapy developer Cell Medica, meanwhile, has closed a £60 million, about $73 million, Series C round, from a consortium that included Touchstone Innovations, the investment firm spun out of Imperial College London. Touchstone contributed £13.7 million to the round and was joined by Invesco Perpetual and Woodford Investment Management. Cellmedica, which was co-founded back in 2007 by the company's CEO Greg Sandow with Touchstone, is working on immunotherapies for a range of diseases. Its lead oncology candidate, Baltalucil-T, is currently undergoing a phase 2 trial for patients with advanced lymphomas associated with the Epstein-Barr virus. The treatment exploits the patient's own immune system to target cancer cells with limited side effects and toxicity. And finally, Oxford University has joined forces with private equity and VC firm Kingsley Capital Partners for a research program into the use of cannabinoids to treat a range of acute and chronic conditions. The strategic partnership will be supported by initial £10 million, or about $12.4 million, investment provided by Kingsley. The research will be conducted by a newly established company called Oxford Cannabinoid Technologies, which will partner medical researchers from the university to understand the molecular, cellular, and systems mechanisms of cannabinoids with the aim of developing therapies for conditions such as cancer and inflammatory disease. With that, let's move on to funds. Nancy Paxton left corporate venturing unit Roche Ventures in January, and now she's re-emerged as the head of a life sciences-focused venture capital firm called Pivotal BioVenture Partners. The US-based firm has also closed its first fund with $300 million of capital from Chinese property developer Nanfeng Group and plans to target transformative therapeutics with infectious diseases, immunology, oncology, ophthalmology, and orphan disease treatments all on the table. Spectrum Health, then, is the latest US healthcare system to form a corporate venturing subsidiary, committing up to $100 million for Spectrum Health Ventures over the next decade. It's targeting innovative technologies such as population-based health analytics, genomics-based personalized medicine, and AI-equipped disease prevention technology, and will look to invest about £2 million in each portfolio company at Series A or B stage. After a couple of false starts, it looks as if Bill Maris, who stepped down as CEO of corporate venturing unit GV in August, is getting back in the game. He's reportedly set to close a $100 million healthcare-focused VC fund in the next few weeks, and if that seems a little small compared to figures touted last year, which was up to $500 million originally and then $230 million, the structure of this fund means he'll be the sole investment partner, giving him the freedom to pretty much invest where he likes. VC firm 500 Startups has announced a $10 million fund aimed at startups based in Latin America, attracting the International Finance Corporation as an LP. The Luchadores 2 fund will target some 120 companies with the aim of boosting the number of unicorns in the region to double digits. And the government of Indian state Karnataka has launched a $1.5 million proof-of-concept fund aimed at women entrepreneurs. The fund will be administered by the Department of Information Technology, Biotechnology and Science and Technology. It will make individual investments of up to 100,000 rupees. BPI France, the public investment bank of France, has committed 75 million euros, or approximately $80 million, to an investment fund currently being raised by private equity firm Bridgepoint. Bridgepoint is targeting a close of 350 to 500 million euros for the fund, which will focus on SMEs and subsidiaries of larger companies that are struggling financially and have been unable to attract other kinds of capital. Dubbed Bridgeport Special Opportunities, the fund will aim to address a lack of growth in these companies, with a particular focus on businesses that are struggling with the aftermath of the 2008 crisis. And US-based fintech-focused venture capital firm TTV Capital has closed a $93 million fund backed by Invest Georgia, a long-term investment program backed by the US state of the same name. An undisclosed sovereign wealth fund has also put in cash, alongside unnamed endowments, foundations, family offices, and strategic investors. Now, as I said in the beginning, this is a week of big exits, so let's look at those. Now that the Snap IPO is out the way, it looks like the public markets dam is beginning to open. MuleSoft, Alteryx, and Forescout all have offerings on the way, and it looks like they'll be joined by big data management software provider Cloudera, which has reportedly filed paperwork for its IPO confidentially. Cloudera is expected to go public at a similar valuation to the $4.1 billion at which it last raised funding in a 2014 mega round that featured Intel and GV. Speaking of Alteryx, the data analytics software provider has set the terms for an IPO that will give Thomson Reuters an exit, and it could raise $126 million if it floats at the top of its range. What's interesting here is that although Nasdaq has been the market of choice for many VC-backed flotations over the past 2 years, Alteryx, much like Snap and MuleSoft, has opted instead for the New York Stock Exchange. The IPO market seems to be getting back on track, but it'll be curious to see if the New York Stock Exchange continues to attract more tech companies over the course of this year. Chinese installment buying platform Fenkile is set to be preparing for its own US flotation, in which it aims to raise $600 million. The offering would give exits to JD.com and Bertelsmann Asia Investments, and the timing of the offering may well have been pushed forward due to reports late last year that its main rival, Qfengqi, is seeking to raise between $500 and $800 million in its own US offering. Textile, the fashion e-commerce company, formerly known by the name of its JustFab brand, has reportedly hired JP Morgan Chase to seek out a buyer in a prospective deal that would value it at $1.5 billion. An acquisition will provide an exit to ProSieben.1's 7 Ventures unit, as well as Intelligent Beauty, the e-commerce holding group that incubated Textile in 2010. And renewable chemicals technology developer Avantium has raised $109 million in an initial public offering in Europe that allowed investors including Coca-Cola and Swire Pacific to exit. Avantium, which also counts Danone, Alpla and corporate-backed venture firm Aster Capital as investors, will use the IPO proceeds to commercialize its technology processes, one of which is responsible for converting plant-based sugars to a recyclable plastic that can be used for packaging. Germany-based gesture tracking software developer Gestigon, backed by public-private partnership Hightech Gründerfonds, was acquired by automotive supplier Valeo for an undisclosed sum. Gestigon will become part of the corporate's comfort and driving assistance business group. Gestigon was spun out of Lübeck University in 2011 and has developed artificial intelligence software that captures data from 3D sensors to track human gestures and recognize body movements. Its investors also included Vorwerk Ventures, the CVC arm of the diversified conglomerate, and Mittelständische Beteiligungsgesellschaft Schleswig-Holstein, created by the German state's government. US-based pharmaceutical company GE Healthcare has acquired Monica Healthcare, a medical device spin-out of Nottingham University, for an undisclosed sum. Monica, launched in 2004, has created wearable, wireless fetal health monitoring devices that enable improved care before and during birth. Its Novi wireless patch system, for example, monitors maternal and fetal heart rate as well as uterine activity. And finally, people. Apart from the aforementioned Bill Maris, the only other personnel news that we have from Global Corporate Venturing this week is Sebastian Schoeffer, who has joined Merck Ventures, the corporate venture capital arm of Germany-based pharmaceutical firm Merck Group, as a senior associate. Schoeffer moved from Hightech Gründerfonds, the German public-private partnership, where he had been an investment manager since 2014. And finally, Vertex Ventures US, a venture capital fund owned by Singapore's sovereign wealth fund Temasek, on Wednesday celebrated its second anniversary and announced two new additions to the team. Sandeep Badra, previously a principal at VC firm Menlo Ventures, has joined Vertex as a partner, while Eva Koo, Previously, the acting chief operating officer at valet parking services provider Lux has been named principal. Although the new position was announced this week, LinkedIn actually indicates that Ku joined Vertex last month. And with that, once again, you are mostly caught up on the biggest news of the week from globalcorporateventuring.com, globalgovernmentventuring.com, and globaluniversityventuring.com. My name is still Thierry Hillis, the editor of GUV and GGV. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Do leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you download this podcast, SoundCloud. Rate us with a few stars. If you have any specific comments, you can also reach out to me at thehillis@morsonia.com. That's thehillis@morsonia.com. And thus, yet again, I wish you a productive week, and I will speak to you again next Monday. Goodbye.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In-Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.